Last Thursday, I went, I guess the only vacation I'm going to go on this year, mini vacation. It was set up because of my birthday. My daughter arranged it. So my wife and I and my daughter and Lindsay and Madison, and then Dennis joined us later, went to Rancho Cucamonga. For those of you who've been around a while, Jack Benny used to think that was a funny name, Rancho Cucamonga. But it's really out there, there is something I didn't know was there before. There is a sporting goods store, and it's huge, humongous. I was guessing, 200,000 maybe square feet, and perhaps in some places indoors maybe four stories high or so. So the idea was, I get this gift certificate, and they, you know, take me down there, and there'll be a lot of stuff to do, and you know, all like that. So we went, got down there, and lo and behold, there was a big shopping center right next to it, you know, big outdoor shopping center. And it kind of looked like Disneyland Main Street, you know, really all, you know, nice and new and a lot of shops and stuff. And I remember Dion saying, well, Dad, you want to, shall we drive through it if we had something to eat for lunch? Shall I go and show you that shopping center? And we'll drive through it on the way to the sporting goods store. So, okay, sure. But that wasn't all it was. It turns out, you know, I had to go back to the sporting goods store because we just suddenly had all kinds of time on our hands, you know. So my wife and daughter deemed it very necessary for me to get new tennis shoes. And after four stores later, I got a couple pair. Anyway, we went to this humongous sporting goods store. It's either called Pro Bass Shop or Bass Pro Shop. Bass Pro Shop. I always get that mixed up. But I admit I was pretty impressed. I walked in there. I mean, they've got stuff like a running stream with trout in it. They have a big aquarium that's full of these fish from three or four different lakes in California. And got to see them feed them with live minnows, that kind of thing. There was a lot to see. And the one thing that as I sat down on this bench and I was waiting for the seminar. I was supposed to be going for the seminar, half-hour seminar, you know, spent 10 hours. But it was about fishing for spotted bay bass in Newport Harbor, which I was very interested in. And it was, presented with the help of Gulp. Now, if you've done any fishing, that's a big new hot bait, you know, it's like plastic lures, only it's not plastic, it's biodegradable, et cetera, et cetera. While I was sitting on this bench waiting for that, close to the time for the seminar, I happened to look around and way up there, and they had like boulders built up like they were rocky cliffs, way high. And they had stuffed, you know, mountain lions, wild boar, bear, there were stuffed hawks, falcons, just about anything you can name. I even saw a little stuffed fox. But all of the things, of course, they all had to have their teeth bared, you know, and they looked ferocious. And I got to thinking that mankind kind of has a tendency to want to identify with these ferocious animals. You know, think of the Indians that have the totem poles, you know, and, you know, there's not a mild animal in, you know, in the stack, okay? Think of the sporting teams. Okay, and I was just thinking of a few, writing them down as the Lions, you know, the Eagles, the Hawks, the Gators, the Bears, the Wolverines, the Tigers, the Falcons, the Panthers, and I'm sure you could probably add to that list. Now, I remember a long time ago, I was a big, just from a little kid, I was a big Los Angeles Rams fan. And they had the fierce, you know, horns and stuff, you know. They did very well. They were very successful when I was a kid. And there was an owner by the name of, I think his name was Carol Rosenblum. And he, I'm not sure, but it seems like he was a widower. Okay, and he had a couple of sons, and they were kind of involved in the business with him. And after a time, he married a woman who was a Las Vegas showgirl, if I understand, remember correctly, named Georgia Frontieri. Anyway, one day he was, I think it was on a beach in Florida, he decided to take a swim. He took a swim out and he never came back. He drowned. So now Georgia has the team. And she wound up getting rid of the Suns from management. And she did a lot of strange things. Anyway, at that time, the Rams were just going down the tubes. And the sportscasters used to call them, I think it was Madame Rams Lambs, something like that. But a lamb is not really associated, should be associated with a, you know, a team, especially a pro football team. I cannot imagine any team being called, let me see, the St. Louis Sheep. That doesn't seem very exciting to me, you know, sheep. And when we hear the term sheep used nowadays, it's usually a derisive term. It's not, hey, you know, you're a sheep, that's great. You know, or, you know, hey, why don't you go over there with all those other sheep? You know, that's kind of how it's used. And at this point, I'd like to comment a little bit, and I'm looking at the 23rd Psalms and taking a look at shepherd and sheep. Okay. Now, before I read this, you have to understand that, from what I understand, sheep are not very bright. Okay, they're not noted to be really intelligent creatures. They really get lost easily. Now, from what I understand, if you've got them pinned in a big, you know, fence, and if there's a hole in that fence, the sheep will find it, and they will go out the hole, and they will get lost. They won't come back. They have a tendency to stray. Sheep, at least back in the days of the 23rd Psalm, sheep are led, not driven. Cattle are driven. Sheep are led. Sheep do recognize their master's voice. Again, I'm going back to the time of the 23rd Psalm. They recognize the master's voice. And apparently, if it's not the master's voice, they don't pay attention to it. Sheep must stay close to the shepherd, or guess what? They're going to be hit on by predators. In fact, we know the story of David. You know, one of the things he was telling the king when he wanted to go out and meet Goliath for the Israelites' army was that, hey, you know, I've killed a lot of ferocious animals as a shepherd for my sheep. Now, as I understand it, sheep usually will not drink from moving water. They prefer still water. They prefer a pool, prefer, you know, drinking from a trough. Sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd, meaning they are helpless creatures. And when we get to the oil treatment on the head, it's my understanding that back in those days, one of the things that the shepherd would do on a daily basis would massage a sheep's ears around his face with oil, give him like a treatment against the, you know, the dry winds, that kind of thing. All right, here's the 23rd Psalms. Now, when I was a child, I learned this in the Old English, so it's a little strange for me. But on the other hand, I remember as a very young child when I was first exposed to the 23rd Psalm. In fact, there was a neighbor that had a placard up on the wall and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, dot, 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 dot." Okay. And I used to think about that, and I say, why wouldn't I want him? It just didn't make sense to me. The Lord's my shepherd, but I don't want him. Anyway, finally I understood in the more modern English, maybe it'll make a little more sense. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, sheep are not very bright. They need to have a shepherd. Sheep easily get lost. If there's a way to get lost, sheep will find a way to do it. Sheep, and I'm thinking of ourselves now, sheep are led rather than driven. You know, one of the things that we are born with, we are hardwired with, is the ability to choose, and we make our choices. We do recognize our master's voice. We can tell the difference, hopefully, between the call of Jesus and the call of Satan. We must stay close to our shepherd, or we are going to be targeted by predators. Satan is a roaring lion. As far as not really wanting to drink from the moving water and prefer the still water, our shepherd is sensitive to our needs and takes care of them. We're totally dependent upon the shepherd. We are indeed helpless without him. Imagine your life without Jesus. You would be a target and you would be helpless to take care of yourself spiritually. As far as the oil treatment part on the head, the thing that reminds me of that is that the Lord is soothing. There's nothing more soothing in our turbulent lives than contemplating the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. In Matthew 9 chapter, when he saw the crowds, it says that he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, like a shepherd, Jesus does have compassion for us. We are not just something that he does. He's involved with us. He's personally committed to us, and he tells us that. You know, I think next to that, the only thing I can think of in that light was, you know, my mother, the way she was with her kids. Totally committed to us. The first concern she had was not for her comfort, but for our comfort. I think most of you can relate to that idea. Jesus is certainly, as our shepherd, is certainly committed to us and does have our comfort. The good things in our lives are important to him. Things, evil happening to us, that's important to him too, because he hates that. We have, in the Old Testament, we have a good idea of the shepherd-sheep relationship in God's eyes, because we, if you want to make a study of this, you'll have a long list of scripture to take a look at. I had a long list to look at, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but just to give you an idea of that relationship being established in the Old Testament, in Psalms we read, "Know that the Lord is God, it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Also in Psalms, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." In the 119th Psalms, it says, "I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands." Remember the voice of the shepherd. As Duane read for us this morning, just to summarize that, Jesus is the good shepherd. We do know his voice. And Jesus is the gate for us. He protects us. He came to give us a full measure of life. And as the good shepherd, he laid down his life for his sheep. He brings all of his flock together as one flock and one shepherd. His Father loves him because he voluntarily laid down his life. And Jesus has the authority to lay it down, and he has the authority to take it up, per the Father. So, as James tells us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Our attitude then, sure, we have to be humble. We have to be the sheep for him as our shepherd, for him to take care of us. Our attitude is dependency upon our shepherd. What does that mean? Well, I better not have a whole lot of self-importance because I'm a sheep. I better not have a whole lot of self-importance because I am absolutely, totally dependent upon my shepherd. My attitude is that I am going to have great joy in his greatness. I'm going to have joy in his sacrifice, and I'm going to have joy in his love for me. In order to have that joy, I have to think about it. In order to have that joy, I have to meditate upon what it means for me to be his sheep and for him to be my shepherd. And I have to be willing to listen only to his voice. And the only way I'm going to do that is two things. First of all, his help. And secondly, I have to make up my mind. I've got to be determined that I am only going to listen to his voice. That's the choice that I have to make. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right, and he'll put the goats on his left. And to the sheep he'll say, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.' And to the goats, he'll say, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Well, you know, I'm going to try my best to make sure I'm one of the sheep, and that I'm on the right, and that I'm going to get that inheritance that he's been preparing. And I think it's probably important for us as sheep to think about what that inheritance is. And look at some of the descriptions, some of the hints about what that inheritance means. Revelation of John is a good place to look. Seems like every time I look at that, I always come away with something not necessarily different, but added to, so it gives me something to meditate upon. "There will be a new heaven and a new earth." That's part of the inheritance. A new heaven and a new earth. Now remember when God made this old earth, you know, and this old universe? Remember what he said when he made that? He said it was good. Can you imagine what the new heaven and new earth is going to be like? I once saw a movie on TV, and it was about a period of time during World War II. And most men, you know, were off fighting the war. And so somebody set up a league of women baseball players. And in this story, there was an injured baseball player. He was a baseball great, but he had bad knees. So they made him the manager of this team. And there was a point in the story where one of the girls out there, one of the ladies, just really messed up, you know, really blew it. And when she came back in from the field, he just got all over her about her bonehead play. And while he is chewing her out, she starts crying. And he looks kind of astonished, you know. He says, "There's no crying in baseball." Well, you know, he may be right, there's no crying in baseball, but he can't say there's not a reason for crying in baseball. Because there is, you know, sometimes people really mess up. Especially if you were playing for Billy Martin. Boy, there would be a reason if you messed up. But we read in John's revelation here that there'll be no reason for crying because there'll be no death. There'll be no mourning about anything, especially death. Obviously no crying, and there'll be no pain. There'll be no temples, church buildings. It won't be necessary because God will be with us. And there'll be no night there. I remember thinking one time, I was looking at that, I was thinking, there's not going to be any night there. When do I sleep? But wait a minute, I'll have a glorified body. I'm going to make the energy bunny look lethargic, all right? I'm going to have all the energy in the world. I won't need to sleep. Everything that we'll need will be given to us in our inheritance. I'd like to close by saying, let us never stop listening for our shepherd's voice.